Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It's your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 62 of the Kicks 62. And Shit Show. That was a quick one. Yeah, we're
back to that.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You're throwing me for a loop because I thought we were like next generation, a new legacy of Kicks and Shit.
Well, Gabby.
Didn't do any horns, you know what I mean?
Well, Gabby. Well, first of all, how are you doing in these streets before we get to your a new legacy and your puns?
Please, I'm a little bit thirsty. Let me take matcha break in my giant Space Jam mug.
Out of your Toon Squad mug. What's going on in those streets besides Space Jam?
Well, Gerard, I wore heels for the very first time in a long time, which was very hard.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know, there's a lot of humidity going on in these streets. I think there's a lot of, been watching some basketball. There's been some great sports moments and games going on over the weekend, which, you know, I love and I'm always excited about. I also think that the world is changing by the minute with the state of the pandemic. It's, you know, I'm traveling to LA this week to not just to stake out Kicks and Shit as America Studios out west, but it's just the mask mandate is back on. So yeah. It's kind
in,
of
in LA County, especially.
Especially in LA County, exactly. And I think Vegas is the same and other places are starting to follow suit. So it's an interesting time in America. I'll put it that way.
Well, look, people, and you know, you mentioned sporting events. The Olympics were also on deck, and there are already 58 confirmed cases of COVID connected to the Olympics. I mean, that should surprise no one. Right.
I was going to say, this shouldn't be as surprising. Right. I think the best thing that I've seen about the Olympics is that they are having cardboard beds to prevent some of the, I don't want to say procreation, but the
extracurricular activities. Yes.
A horizontal polka going on in Tokyo. But the rebuttals online have been gold. Like, they're Olympians. They'll figure it out. Like, no cardboard bed is stopping anyone, let me tell you.
Well, you know, quickly, for those that do not know, the Olympic Athlete Village, let's just say lots of extracurricular activities go on in the athlete village. And, you know, you have to think about this, right? These are among the most physically fit people in the entire world, right? Like, the top 1%. So yeah, there's, you know, things be happening.
I think people are attractive. I think there's a lot of stress release that needs to happen. You know, there's a lot of ESPN bodies issues, IRL, you know, I mean,
the crazy thing, Gabby, is, you know, all seriousness though, like, yo, people, we are still in a pandemic, and just because you are vaccinated, as we both are, does not mean you now can go out into the world and just act reckless and wild out, right? Now, it really isn't so much about, even though we're vaccinated, when we are in public spaces like airplanes and stuff, we should still be masked, etc. The problem we're having now is those people who decided not to get vaccinated, they never stopped living their lives, right? They're still going about doing whatever it is they were doing, right? And that now, because all the mask mandates were lifted in indoor places for a short stretch, all sorts of mixing was going on in those places. So who the hell knows? And we do know that you can be a fully vaccinated person and still be a carrier of the Delta variant of the COVID virus, right? That is still possible. So, you know, we got to still be diligent out there, people.
Absolutely. And I think it's hard to go back, right? Like, we had been so careful for so long. Right? It's like when you get one cheat day that turns into a cheat week on a diet. You're like, how could I go back to eating rabbit food? And then, that's what it feels like. And I think there's a lot of weird theories out there. Like, apparently all of America are scientists now that don't believe in any medical research, you know? It's fine.
And then, you know, one cheat day turns into a cheat lifetime, right?
And that's like where we're at right now. We are full-fledged cheat lifetime. I love all the variations, by the way, of hot girl summer. It's like thought girl summer, shot girl summer. Like I'm back, so that's why it's shot girl summer. It's like a double entendre.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. I see what you did there. Well, Gabby, you know, you have your Toon Squad mug out. And so...
Oh, yes. You know what I'm going to ask you, Gerard. Yes. What's going on in your street?
Listen, I am, you know, just doing my thing, enjoying summer. As we said, you are heading to L.A. I am getting ready for some R&R, so a little just public service announcement for the KNS listeners. We will not have an episode next week. So, you know, just be mindful of that, right? So there will not be an episode next week. Because, you know, listen, we need a break too, right? We need some time to recharge our batteries so that we're continually putting out good content for you guys. So I've been thinking about that. The NBA Finals are winding down, so I've been, you know, working on my content around that. And, you know, working on some other exciting projects that I can't really discuss in detail now. But I will share with the group as soon as I can. But yeah, you know, as I said to you last week, enjoying summer, right? Because for me, it's such a recharge time to get ready so I can end the year strong, right? And then, you know, we can do our whole New Year's resolutions, New Year, New You, and all the things.
All right, let's not get too carried away, okay? I've been playing on the streets this week. It is summer. We don't need to talk about winter. We don't need to talk about end of year. I was thinking, Gerard, though, I know everyone's going to really miss us taking a week away, but, like, should I bring in a guest co-host while you're away?
You definitely should not. You definitely should.
I mean, that's probably a good idea, but, you know.
You definitely should not.
That I've had.
Yeah, maybe you and Ella, it could be
I was actually thinking, like, Jenna.
Oh, Lord. You, Ellen, and Jenna, the three of you, that would be, oh, yes. What a show that would
Beats
be.
Beats in the Streets. There's a special episode.
But a special female edition. But, Gabby, you know, again, all jokes aside, your Toon Squad Cup, listen, everyone who watches this show and listens to it knows I will not be seeing any Space Jam movies. But it did come out last weekend, and the internet was abuzz, as they say, about this movie. And, you know, for me, I just got a kick out of the reactions from people online. Absolutely. Like, because I'm like, what did you people think this movie was going to be? And then people using the movie as some kind of either validation or referendum, right? And it's just like we're talking about a cartoon movie. You people are nuts, right?
This is why the internet always wins. I mean, all of a sudden everyone's talking about LeBron's acting performance.
I mean,
he's up for an Oscar nomination for Space Jam.
First of all, and I love, and I think you posted this in your Instagram story. And I think something to the effect of, it'll be incredible how many people turned into film critics this weekend, right? Watching LeBron and Space. And it's hilarious. I'm like, people who I have never seen on Twitter comment or make any kind of detail about any movie in their lifetime. Nothing. I'm like, do you even watch movies? Because you never talk about them. Oh, but this movie. And look, and it's not a knock for people who went to go see it or whatever. This is not great work of cinematic art that needs to be broken down like it's, you know, the Godfather trilogy. Like, it ain't that, okay? It's a cartoon movie. Let's be real.
Well, I mean, Gerard, I don't know if you fully get a detailed perspective as someone who has seen neither of those movies, but, you know, I do respect your thoughts on the internet judgment. I mean that in the nicest way. You know, I always value everything that you say. But I agree with you 100%. I think it's really funny when people now are, like, turning into critics, watching it, being like, see, told you, Jordan is better. But I think the best thing that I saw over the weekend was, this isn't meant for us. Right. I mean, we like to think it is, right, but it is meant for the nostalgia, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when we watched Space Jam, the original one with Jordan, it's now targeting literally the new legacy of basketball fans. So it's not even the new legacy of greatest of all time basketball players, but that's where I think it is, right? It's all about the kids in this younger generation. Like, even I'm excited to see the different players that are featured alongside LeBron in the movie, right? And then I think there was, like, a ton of hype, a lot of sneakers. You know, your girl had to get a Happy Meal over the weekend just to get the toy. Although, I will say, Daffy, really? Like, your girl wants a Lola Bunny. I think.
Oh,
I don't know if you've seen the Michael Jordan, or the, sorry, excuse me, whew, the LeBron James toys. Not exactly a replica, but it's...
Not great?
It's amazing.
Oh, it's good.
Unless he looks like this in real life. I mean, they're pretty amazing. Shouts to McDonald's for the whole collection, because I don't think I've had a Happy Meal in like 20 years.
Okay. I was gonna say, in a million years?
Basically, yeah. So this is my new legacy of getting Happy Meals as well. I'm glad that they have apple slices. Shouts to McDonald's for, you know, I'm loving it.
You know, listen, we know you love a pun better than anyone.
I do.
It is funny, though, right? How, again, and it's... And part of it's the internet, and so much of the internet is performative, right? People feel they have to go onto the internet and put on some kind of thing resembling a performance, right? Like, whether it be their persona, right? Or whatever it is. And so, you know, the people using it as a, this is why LeBron is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, or vice versa. It's like, a cartoon movie is supposed to tell me what exactly about, like, but anyway, again, if you're nostalgic, you love it, you want to go back, I'm not knocking you for that. Enjoy. But let the movie live for what it is, right? Which is a form of entertainment, however long it is. 90 minutes. I don't even know.
Almost 2 hours, actually. I will be watching it on my flight to LA this evening. Okay. So I know this is surprising to everybody that I have not seen it yet. Especially you, Gerard. But
we started the show. I was like, I was like, first thing in the show, Gabby's detailed review of Space Jam 2. But you're,
I mean,
like,
I'm super
not
hype about it, but I've had to prep for this trip, and it's been a busy weekend, so I would like to watch it without any distractions on HBO Max, and shouts to HBO Max for making it available, right? Yes. Like, that's pretty amazing.
Well, now with COVID,
I'm actually able to watch it on the flight, you know, sometimes apps in air are a little bit wonky, so I'm trying to, my iPad is currently charging, so I can get that situated, otherwise I'll be watching it this evening once I land.
Well, here's what you do in HBO Max, because I'm assuming you have HBO Max,
I do, yes.
I think you buy it and download it. That way you have it. So it's in. It's
I don't
on
know
your
if you
iPad.
Can download it,
oh, you can't download it.
I know
it.
Netflix you can download. I'm not sure with HBO if you can. Oh. Especially for something like that. Like, they don't know if I'm going to, like, send it, share it. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So HBO Max is a little bit different. So.
But it's also, I mean, think about it. That's a big-ass file to send to somebody. A two-hour movie? I mean, who's sending...
Gerard, we are the Napster generation that used to spend 17 hours waiting on dial-up.
On dial-up. You're right.
A song to come through, right? That movie to jam hit differently when it came through Napster and LimeWire. So, I don't know. If there's a will, there's a way. So, I'm trying to see if I can prep before my flight. Otherwise, I'll watch it when I land before everyone else gets into town tomorrow.
And, you know, I'll be looking forward to your review of this epic film and what you think it means overall.
I will say, though, the one thing that, like, I've seen a couple bits of conversation online about that I'm going to be very in tune to. That was not a Toon Squad pun intentionally, I promise, because it's a little bit different this time around. Is the soundtrack. I feel like the soundtrack for the original was so iconic.
I mean,
Quad City DJs, that is an anthem that still, like, gets me moving.
Quad City DJs.
Like Grandma Gabby, but, you know. No.
That's a jam. There is a song that, of course, is iconic. We will not say what it is and whom that singer is for obvious reasons. So that part, I mean, again, I did not watch, but that soundtrack, I for sure know that soundtrack, right? Because those were all crossover popular hits, regardless of the movie. Now, I already saw some chatter online being like, this is why the soundtrack is whack. I'm like, All right, people. Like, I guess, like, you know, do
people
you
love to
each his
criticize
own?
everything and anything.
Everything.
So
and it's also, I feel like, Gabby, everyone feels like they have to have a position staked out immediately. Like, as if you can't evolve or let it sit with you for a minute, right? It's like, I'm going to digest this movie and I'm going to sit with it for the weekend and I'll share my thoughts on Monday. Nope. Immediately. It sucks. Or, like, it's like, okay.
I mean, honestly, I think that's the biggest miss right now is that, you know, we're off next week, so no one gets to hear my thoughts until 2 weeks later. I feel like I might need to do a story or something. I don't know. I'm going to clearly be having some FOMO, Gerard, while you're away. But I do want to talk to you about all the releases and all the influencer seating and all of the limited packs and attire and apparel and the different sneakers that did come along with it. I thought that to me was really cool because there was so much versatility in silhouette, in style. And I have to know, what are your favorites?
Listen, the entire merchandise rollout, I thought, to your point, was incredible. I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. I am not an Air Force One person. Like, that's just not, like, I don't like them. I just, it's not a shoe that's for
You're
me.
You're a downtown guy, not an uptown guy. I got you. That's
well played. But I did like the Air Force One releases for this. I thought they were very nice. Lola Bunny, I mean, I'm like, oh, she got a little bit of something going on there, that Lola Bunny, right? Like,
a lot of money at this, you know? I think Lola Bunny was the sleeper star of the merch.
Yeah, I thought everything around Lola Bunny was cool. Look, you know how my feelings overall about the LeBron shoe in general. I just, for me, it's just a bulky shoe. Even some of the LeBron colorways, I was like, you know, these are pretty good. Like, I could see if you like LeBron shoe, you being like, or, and if you are also, oh, I also want to be into this whole Space Jam Toon Squad, I like this too. So I like that. I like the Toon Squad jerseys. Like, I thought the merchandise rollout and all the paraphernalia that came with it, A+. And obviously, I know it was a heavier and way more involved rollout than the original Space Jam, right? Just because of the way in which sneaker consumption around this stuff has changed since 1990, whatever that came out, and 2021.
No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, the LeBron 18 is a little less bulky in the silhouette, which is usually my beef with LeBrons, not the fact that they belong to him. It's that it's a bulky silhouette for me. So right. I thought the way that they did the color treatment and the design on the 8s, it was really cool. Yes. But that's, again, not really for me. But I understand why the collab worked with each of the different silhouettes. Like, I love the Chuck Taylors, and the Converse sneakers were great. The Air Force Ones, I like, it left a little bit to be desired. I thought they were a little simple, but it's a clean silhouette, so I get it. Like,
well, you know me, I like clean.
Yeah, and I think they did a nice job. The Lola Bunny, though, to me is my favorite. I think I also, my OCD takes over, and I don't love sneakers necessarily that don't match. I like the option to mix and match, like I do with, like, my SpongeBob's, right?
Yeah.
But I also want an option to match. And so, like, that marquee pair of the 18s, I thought were great, but right. I almost wish it was like a pack of the two that I could mix and match or wear them together.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. I do like that they went with the LeBrons. They went with some lows on those, right? Like, because I think that you always talk about, like, right, like when sneakers can go low, because sometimes, at least depending on what kind of pants you're wearing, I mean, it's summertime, so it's shorts now, so not really relevant, but a low sometimes is great, because if you got jeans or whatnot, that you can't wear high top jeans, of course we do that. But for me personally, I like the low when I have certain kinds of pants on, and I like that they offered low top options for a lot of these. You know, it was good.
Absolutely. I think it was nice. You know, like I said, I like that the Lola Bunnies are still kind of sitting. I also like that, you know, I feel like the collection was really mindful of sizing. The fact that those launched in, like, a grade school specifically for the ladies, so that was really nice and smart. It's interesting seeing that it's not sold out yet, but I do think that'll happen in the coming weeks. I'm going to keep my eyes on them. Might need to be an early birthday present to myself coming out next month.
Check it out. Like, again, like the I thought the Toon Squad jerseys were great. I think they did a not bomber quite, but like that satin jacket feel, you know, where it's Toon Squad. I thought that, again, throwback to even old school, like the NBA jackets used to have, right? Like that would have just the team logo right on the or name right on the front, right? I thought that was pretty cool too. So you know, some nostalgia stuff in there. You know? And if, again, it's not about LeBron, like, I just, you know, this is not for me, right? Like, this is a movie that's not I'm not the target audience, but for people out there who wanted to feel nostalgic, I'm sure you got some really good feelings about that. And you got to, as Gabby said, there's those things that are sitting there. You probably got a chance to get yourself some good merchandise. Yes, I'm sure everybody wanted the game controller, but look, you know that was only going to influencers and like the 10 that were made available to the public or however many, however small amount they did. Look, y'all know. It's like taking an L in the sneakers app every week. You know it's coming. Just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for it.
I do think it's interesting, though. LeBron has had quite the active weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, between the red carpet premiere of Space Jam 2, and I feel like he was all over the media courtside. Mm-hmm.
Game 5 of the finals,
yeah. Game 5, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Game 5? And, you know, LeBron being there, there was a lot of players, actually, that were in the house, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, of course, LeBron going to support his homie CP3, the point guard. You know, look, Game 5 was, oh, wow, a hell of a game. And you mm-hmm. see how, you know, things change on a dime, right? And really, in the finals, these are possession games. I say this all the time. Like, even if it ends 4-2 and the Bucks win Game 6 on Tuesday night, this is pretty even series, right? If you look at total points scored and, like, it is a possession here and a possession here. So when we say the margins are thin in the NBA Finals, this is what we're talking about, right? Like, Holiday gets that steal on Booker. They dribble down court, alley-oop to Giannis, like, game. Like, that right? That was
momentum it. Shifts in a second.
In a nutshell, you know? Right? And so, you know, and kudos to Milwaukee, man. Like, Phoenix took that whole first quarter to build that 16-point lead, and then span of 5 minutes, they erased it, and the game is all tied up, right?
Wild.
And that, wild. You know, that was big for them. And as much as I said, I picked Phoenix in six to start. Look, it wasn't because, you know, I didn't think Milwaukee was good. Like, I came in realizing, oh, Milwaukee is the better basketball team. Like, they just are. They have more guys, and their length
and more size.
And their size, yes, yep. is just causing problems for Phoenix. And that's not, there's no tactical adjustment you can do to that. You can't grow a foot. It's just, you are what you are, right? So this is what they're dealing with. Now, that doesn't mean that Phoenix can't win Game 6, right? We've seen Milwaukee have terrible shooting nights. They could easily shoot terribly on Tuesday, and we're back in Phoenix for a Game 7, and then who the hell knows what happens in that game, right? But no, it's been an entertaining NBA Finals, and for those people who were like, oh my God, two small market teams, nobody's going to watch, I'm like, I don't know. I think
great basketball. I think people are here for it. There are also major superstars
right.
on those teams, like that have their own sneakers, that have their own franchises. Yeah. There's and a lot to watch.
And the ratings are good. Like they're up. Like people are watching this Finals. It's got drama. It's the last three games particularly have been super compelling and down to the wire. So, you know, Game 6 will be Tuesday night. It'll be interesting and exciting to see what happens then. So Gabby, I want to transition to talking about one of our favorite sneaker companies, Nike. We talked about the pandemic, and a report in CNBC came out today that Nike is going to have some production. They already have some production issues coming up. Vietnam, which is a country that produces a lot of Nike sneakers. In fact, 50% of the entire U.S. sneaker Nike U.S. sneaker market is produced in Vietnam. They, because of COVID, you know, basically wreaking havoc, two of their suppliers had to shut down. So that's definitely going to mean, right, delays in production, obviously. And then whatever products do exist, delay in shipping, right? So the whole supply chain is going to be affected. And we kind of saw this early on in the pandemic, yeah. right, with longer wait times or, no, this is out of stock. We don't know when we're making any new ones just because of... We're I think headed back for that again, and I think, you know, as we look at sneaker releases this summer and what's happening, yada yada, you know, I wonder what's going to happen to the consumer, as you know, particularly as we deal with the narrow sphere of the sneakerheads and the releases, how that's going to affect the release calendar. But when you saw half of the Nike U.S. sneaker production market being in jeopardy, what did you think?
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like, ah, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
I think that this is, we talked about this, I think, a year ago when sales were up, but we knew that there were going to be some issues that have been this kind of trickle down effect. It was almost like that, like halo that was too good to be true of all this stuff happening. I think the timing is very interesting, especially as the current state of the world is right now within this pandemic. I also think August through the end of the year typically gets a lot of hype with releases. Like mm-hmm. I'm looking ahead at, there's a ton of heat coming out in mm-hmm. August, both from Nike and Yeezy. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects things. And if Nike makes shifts in their model with the amount of pairs that they're releasing, mm-hmm. if it's going to make sneakers even harder and harder to get. Mm-hmm. I also think, like, I keep hearing things about people having glitches with the app. Like, oh, if you didn't get it, or there was a problem with your order after you got it and then it showed up. I've seen a lot of that. So I think, you know, we're all kind of holding hands and working through this together to figure out what this looks like mm-hmm. in terms of production accessibility. But I think, you know, what we've learned through all of this is that Nike has such a strong brand perception and clout. At the end of the day, is it going to really affect things?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Right. Yeah. They may see a little dip in sales, perhaps a dip in stock price for a bit, but they're such a behemoth that, you know, it's almost, again, that too big to fail idea. So it was some news coming out of Nike today, and I thought this was pretty interesting because, you know, we talk about, like, what are the most popular shoes, and for Nike, that's determined by sales, right? Like, it doesn't matter what sneaker Twitter is saying. Right. Yeah, no. Yeah. It's what sells the most units. That tells them what is the most popular shoe. The top-selling shoe in the United States in the first half of 2021 was the Nike Air Max 270. I thought that was interesting. Okay.
There's been a changing of the tide. Wow, when did America get some taste? Okay.
Now, that's just the first half of the year. We don't know what it'll look like at year end, right? It may change. But as of, you know, now, through June, that was the number one selling shoe.
I mean, I'm not super surprised with that, honestly, though, right? Like, Nike is a little bit more so these days known for their aesthetics mm-hmm, than mm-hmm. it is necessarily for the comfort. There's mm-hmm. a reason that, like, the boomers are all gravitating towards Skechers. Skechers actually has a similar version of that 270. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me that that technology, I mean, that's a comfortable shoe. Once it starts to wear, not so much, but it's a very comfortable shoe. It's very nice and clean and stylish looking. It comes in 90 million different colors.
Oh my God, so many colorways.
And it just, like I said, it's clean. It's more modern looking than some of the other shoes mm-hmm. of Nike past. Mm-hmm. So I think that, to me, is exciting. Okay. Good job, America.
Yeah, I was going to say kudos, America, on not picking dad shoes, because the Air Max 270 is very, very sleek. And although I will say, when I'm outside...
The Monarch?
The Monarch.
The Monarch's been a TikTok sensation, though, let me tell you, during this pandemic.
I've seen a lot of people in that age range, like the dad range, wearing Air Max 270s outside. I'm like, oh, look at you. You went out, you went for a little more pizzazz. The Monarch, maybe your kid was making fun of you or something, and you were like, I don't know. But that 270, I think you're right. It's sort of this, from a silhouette perspective, it's clean, right? There's no bells and whistles on it. It's not funky looking, whatever, right? It's a low top, which of course most adults wear, right? They don't wear high tops. And as you said, it is a comfortable shoe. You know, when it wears a bit, that's, you know, a whole other story. But, you know,
that's every shoe.
Right,
you know?
Of course. I think of course.
It's got that slip-on type silhouette, which is easy to use. I also think the way that trends happen, it's like the tides ebb and flow, right? Like the 90s is very much back. Like I look at girls that are half my age that wore stuff that I wore when I was their age. Like it's like full on like mom jeans and crop tops and the tattoo chokers and bucket hats are back, and those ugly Steve Madden shoes with the platforms. Those are all back making an appearance. So it's funny the way that the trends have changed, because I think that this dad shoe type silhouette has actually become a bit trendy. Like you see some of the collabs with New Balance. It resembles a little bit more of that like kind of dad shoe silhouette.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's where like the Monarch is becoming what, a golf shoe and a cleat. It's like you're seeing, it's almost like a role reversal, right? Like
correct.
I don't see as many young people in the 270s, and I just age myself by using the phrase young people.
Yes, correct. But you're an old lady, Gabby. No, but you're right. When I'm out and I see 270s, it would be shocking if I see it on people under the age of 30.
Yep.
Like, and it's not to say that you couldn't be under 30 and wear it, because I think it's a very attractive shoe, but I don't see many people under 30 wearing 270s. Everyone I see in a 270 is 30 or older, 100%.
I agree. I mean, even the New Balance, like I said, the 550s that are everywhere, they have like designer collabs with that silhouette. That to me is a dad shoe. Like, I think my brother had them back in the day, or a tennis sneaker version of them, and I was like, why are you running a 5K in a shoe that looks like that? I don't know.
Your brother was an aspiring dad, like has always been in the dad range.
Who knows what range he is in? He's in his own range, but I just, you know, sorry, Ben.
I was going to say, shouts to Ben.
You know, I've done sneaker picks with my family, and they rock their Skechers with
pride.
Yes, they have. You like what you like, and that's okay.
100%.
But it is interesting seeing how the trends ebb and flow, and things that, you know, aren't cool at one point are all of a sudden cool just because the right people are wearing them, the right collabs are happening, and brands are putting support behind those silhouettes to kind of cut through the clutter and do something a little bit different. I know we've talked before, even when we had Wells on the show, about like what's the difference between a truly good and unique collab versus just another colorway.
Right,
so I think this has given a lot of these other brands room to play. And, you know, we love Nike and have tons of great things to say about them. I mean, I joke with my friends who say, how do I get an Air Jordan 1? I'm like,
you don't.
Right. You know, so there's a covetability still there, but I love seeing all these other brands kind of stepping up to the table, like the Haribo Puma collab that just dropped last week. Love to see it.
Listen, I think everything you said is dead on, and I think again this is an opportunity, as you said, other brands can see what they're doing in that sort of, you know, dad shoe mold, right? And that sort of, which really, dad shoe is just code for like every man shoe, right? Like that's really what we're saying. That's like what's a good shoe for like for everyone. Speaking of more Nike news, and you know, I think it's interesting, we talked about the role of women in sneaker culture, right? And I think, you know, when in stories like this come out, and again, a lot of this information is coming from our guy, Matt Powell, who, of course, if you know, if you follow the sneaker industry, I mean, Matt Powell's a veteran. He's been doing this for a gajillion years. And apparently it was Nike earnings report day. And in the first half of 2021, Nike and Adidas both ceded share in women's sport footwear to Skechers, Brooks, Vans, and others. And I thought that was interesting, right? And again, we know in the past year, longer than that, but there's been a push to really have women more involved in the sneaker industry, right? But when we always talk about sneakers, it's often from the limited scope of this community, right? Which are people who like, you know, releases that are, you know, coveted, those kinds of things. When I see a story like this, right, what it's telling me is similar to that dad everyman shoe, Nike and Adidas, for whatever reason, are having trouble connecting with the every woman, right? As it relates to just an ordinary shoe. And as a woman, Gabby, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts. Not just the hype fancy shoes, but like, yo, I just want a pair of X. Are Nike and Adidas the place you're looking at first? Or are you like, I'm going to somewhere else because they're better for like my every shoe, whether it be running or walking?
I mean, I think for me, I still go to Nike and Adidas first, but my eyes are open. I love seeing what New Balance is doing. The 997s are one of my favorite up-and-coming. I mean, not up-and-coming because the style's been around forever, but like that's something that I'm looking to add more to my collection, right? It's a comfortable shoe. It's a nice silhouette. It's a little bit more bulky than some of their other shoes, but not in a dad shoe kind of way. It gives me like almost like a trail running shoe vibe, which is what I love about it. I think, though, there's been a lot of interesting conversation just around women in the space, right? Whether you talk to the average woman or the woman who are more into sneaker culture, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of conflicting thoughts. I think, you know, inclusivity is the biggest piece that is still kind of missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I follow some of our guests and that when they do their sneaker Twitter chats on Friday nights, you know, even from a sizing perspective, I think the brands that have been around longer don't pivot as much and not as quickly. I know Jazzeray talked a lot about Kith and is the average person shopping Kith and the different Kith collabs?
Right.
I think, you know, the price of streetwear has gone up so much, but she made a really great point. Like, she's pretty tiny, very petite, and is a medium in some of the streetwear and the hoodies and the women's exclusives. So who is able to actually buy these collections? And I feel like we're not really there yet when it comes to women in the space, that we're starting to get women designers and women who are the creative directors who understand the diverse range of sizes and tastes and opinions, right? Like, but I don't think we're fully there. I think there's a lot of men that are in charge, and I think there's a lot of male designers that do great things for women's apparel and shoes. So I'm not dogging on them, but I do think like now that we're in a culture of inclusivity and we have more options than ever, that's why women are looking elsewhere beyond the Adidas and Nike, because it's not a one size fits all anymore. And it wasn't before, but nobody really talked about that. So now that it's an open dialogue in terms of sizes, in terms of style, like even when we started doing the show, Gerard, you know, like most of the sneaker collections out there were focused around Nike and Jordan.
Yeah.
That's shifted so much within the past year since we've been doing the show.
For sure.
So I'm excited to see kind of where things go. I don't think there's not any brand in particular that has really rocked it out of the park, which is why women are still buying men's shoes.
I think
that's what it is for me.
I think it's interesting that the companies that they've ceded market share to, Skechers, Brooks, and Vans, and to me, those three companies signify a couple different things, right? Clearly, there's a segment of women out there who, whether it's professional is the wrong word, whether it's like they're heavy and serious about it or whether they just do it casually, runners, right? Clearly, the Nike and Adidas running shoes don't work for a segment of women, right? Which is why Brooks is getting popular. We talked about Hoka's, I don't know, was it?
Wasn't company included. I rock ASICS because
Nike and Adidas don't work for you when you run.
Nike doesn't work for me currently. Adidas maybe, but I haven't given a Boost shoe in a long time a real shot. But I want something that's specialized in that.
Yeah, because you want stability for whatever your foot type, your arch type is, right? And I feel like that's a challenge with Nike and Adidas. Skechers and Vans, to me, tell me your sort of casual everyday shoe, right? And so what are they doing, right, that's looking nice or more attractive, right, that's seen the market shift? And some of it may be, as we know, the older brands become very stale in what they put out, right? It's like, all right, let's do another version of like the Air Max whatever and just make it pink this week. And it's like, all right, but that's not, you know, if I want to look a certain way, that doesn't give me any variety, right? So I'm out on that. I think that's interesting. And I know for years, I mean, just talking to various women that I know would always complain about, this is not a footwear piece, but it'd be about the clothing piece, they'd have an issue with, you know, Nike athletic apparel. They'd be like, the Stella McCartney line's better. Like, I have more options, more fit styles, whatever. And it's, hey, man, if you really want to be in these all places, you need to make sure that you have your fingerprint on the pulse, right? And you're able to make things, as we always say, more inclusive. You can't serve everybody, but a company as big as Nike and Adidas, they should have more options, right?
I totally agree. They should be bringing in, even if it's focus groups of women that are in the plus size range, women that typically rock men's clothing mixed with their women's clothing, women of color, like bring in the people that you're targeting as your focus group, as your test, as your designer, as your marketer, because that's what's going to really get these brands to win. I also think that pricing is an issue, right? Like us as part of sneaker culture, I know you don't like to buy your shoes because of the price point. Like, I'm not trying to put you on blast. I promise that was not a dig.
I feel like you and Ellen worked on that.
but it's true though, right? Like the average price of sneakers.
Which is why when I do decide to buy, I really want this pair, right? Like, but otherwise I'm like, I'm not doing it.
But also even still though, like resale aside, mm-hmm. whether you can get it or not, the average person finds anything over $100 in terms of like quote unquote tennis shoes is ridiculous, right? Yeah, it's like if you're not playing in a pair of KDs, no matter how cool they look, like you're not going to buy them, or that's like a treat or a birthday present. It's not an everyday shoe. And I think that's given Skechers a real room to grow and shine. Same with Vans. Vans, they're under 100, you know, that's why I love as my basic shoe. I love an Adidas Superstar or a Puma Future Rider, right? Yep. Like even the Air Max Ones, which is like my classic Nike silhouette, it's over 100. You're not going to get that same kind of reach because you're pricing people out, especially with everything going on in the economy these days, right? It's like inflation is crazy. Salaries and cost of living increases aren't matching up.
Definitely not.
And, you know, we don't know the state of anything of how things are going to be tomorrow, given the fact that it feels like we're regressing in a lot of ways. I think that all of those reasons add up to why these other brands are really having a time to shine. Like, I love seeing a space, though, where other brands do come out. And that's okay, though. It doesn't take away from Nike's market share. You know, I think it's a different audience in the first place.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, which is why I love when, like, you mentioned been spending over 100, and if it's the three that I really want, all right, I'm gonna do the thing. If it's, you know, the Kyries, whatever, but like, you know, man, if I could find some Stan Smiths, some Puma Low Suedes, and they're on 65, now we're talking, right? Because I'm cool with that. But like, to consistently go with the 150, 192, it's like, all right, man, like, chill. And that's if you even get it, which you probably won't, right?
Yep, so at that price without the resale. That's why my mom calls them my mortgage shoes, right? I mean, Mama Rosenthal's not wrong.
We were talking about women in sneakers and other brands shining. So we know that Amy Leon Dore's New Balance collaboration for the 650s coming out spring 2022. It's so funny. So Nice Kicks had tweeted a picture out of them, and I saw some interesting reactions underneath. Some people are like, woo, fire. And other people are like, trash. And I'm like, guys, why is it always so hot, one or the other? Like, I mean, like, come on.
No one wants to be Switzerland, you know what I mean? I think Switzerland's lovely this time of year, all times of year. But, you know, everyone's got an opinion.
To me, I think they're cool-looking shoes. Like, they do, you know, you mentioned something about it. And I don't know if we can change it. But I don't want, when I say a dad, you'd have a negative connotation. Because when I think
it's a category.
What I mean is it's an every man shoe. And I think, because you know, there's some people who like, I want to get in sneakers, but they feel like they can't rock. For instance, you know, the Kyries that I got from the concept collab with like the hieroglyphics or whatever. That's not an every man shoe, right? Because it's like, you know, your dad's probably not going to rock that. My dad's definitely not going to rock. It just, that doesn't fit. But this shoe, you're like, maybe he might.
I don't know. My dad experiments with fashion sometimes. So I think if I got him a pair, he would rock it.
But these have such a classic and traditional look to them that I feel like, oh, you can feel like, oh, look at me. I'm in on the Amy Leon Dore collab. And it looks like an everyman shoe, right? It's not nothing too crazy about it. Yes, it's got a little bit of flair because it's New Balance, right? It's like, oh, a little bit high top, whatever. But I think it's a nice way for, you know, the every to be like, oh, I can rock something like that. Now, that's even if you can get it, which that's a whole other story. But I like them in that for that regard.
I think the high tops are also interesting with that silhouette, right? Because that's typically a low. Mm-hmm. And I think the the designer clubs that have come out with Amy Landor already that are low. I agree. It's an everyman shoe, a dad shoe. It's not a daddy shoe, but it's a dad shoe.
Not a daddy shoe, but it's a daddy
shoe. Wave Runners, though, that drop next month, daddy shoe.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. So before we wrap this episode, and again, thank you always, guys, for tuning in. Remember, next week we will be off. You know, little on our little vacation. We'll be back with our, you know, our normal shoe and tell segment. No shoe and tell this week. We're just kind of, you know, keeping things light, just kind of chatting about the industry as a whole. I saw the Reebok Jurassic Park collabs, and now for this is interesting, right? Because, you know, talking about movies in the 90s, whatever. That was a movie that I was like really into, as you know, in 1993. How the hell old was I? That was freshman year of high school, I think. Yeah, that's summer. That's summer. Sounds about right. Yeah. Or summer going into sophomore year. Yeah. I kind of like what they did there, right? The whole, the nod to the Velociraptors and just everything about the old school, the original Jurassic Park movie. You saw that in the details. That's a piece of nostalgia that I was like, oh, I could get behind this. Remember when Darren Revell was on, we talked about just because everyone wants it doesn't mean that you should get it, right? Get something that speaks to you. And I wanted to bring this up because that's a movie I remember being like, oh, I can't wait to see that, right? Like, and that's something I would get behind. I can't imagine it's going to sell out and, like, do any kind of crazy, you know, I doubt it. But that is an example of something where, hey, that meant something to me as a kid. I loved going to that movie and that whole deal. I would get behind these. What were any memories of yours around Jurassic Park? 93, I mean, you were probably, what, 93? 8? I don't know, I'm guessing.
I was in the third grade.
Guys, I was close in age. All right.
Mm-hmm. I was in third grade, and I remember when Jurassic Park came out in the movie theaters, we were so excited to go see it. And there was a scene where I was just at, like, a local place in Jersey where the dinosaur came at the screen and went like this, and then the film ripped as it was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody screamed, and we couldn't finish the movie. And we were like, what's happening? Is this part of the effect? We didn't know what was going on, and then the screen was completely white. And yeah, that was my experience with Jurassic Park when it first came out, but it was an epic movie. I also love collabs like that, though, right? Because, and I agree with you, I don't think it's going to be something that's necessarily selling out.
Right.
But I love the ones that really, really tap into nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I loved about some of Darren's collection, is that they really nail it with the details in a way that if you're a fan, you're going to appreciate that. Yes. Otherwise, it just seems like a little kitschy and quirky. Mm-hmm. But when you're a true fan, I think, you know, and I've referenced the Adidas Star Wars collection.
They did a great job
that came out last year. Amazing. And the Night Joggers were amazing and sat for a long time. But the detail on those shoes really took nods to the movies, the whole series, and I think they did a really beautiful job. So I feel the same about this Jurassic Park collab.
So you know that Reebok has the Instapump, right? Fury shoe. So you remember the in the Jurassic Park it's a theme park, right? That's what it was. It's this island where you do it. Remember the vehicles they had, right? That, like, and they were like yellow, green, like that's what that shoe looks like. And I'm like, that's got the details with like the print on the side. Like I was like, ooh, this is taking me back. Reminded me of, you know, all the Samuel L. Jackson, of course, is in that movie. Laura Dern, one of my faves.
Legend.
Yeah, it's just, I thought this was cool. And the pump's got the dinosaur, like that same logo that's on the front of the Jurassic Park. Like, it's dope. Like, I was like, all right, I could definitely.
Are you going to get some? Are you going to buy it?
I'm thinking about it. I really am. The only challenge is outfit specific, a lot of it because the colors are so crazy, right? Because remember, it's on an island, so it's like a lot of bright green and yellow. Like, it's got to be the right, like, you know, outfit fit for that. So I'm thinking summertime, but yeah, I like it.
You could rock all black with it, though. I like, what you're wearing now, I think would go great with that.
See, thanks. That's why you're here, to help me style. I like that.
Stylist. Yep, beats in the streets, Sherrod. I got you.
And a couple cool low tops. I'm going to do a couple of t-shirt collabs with it as well. Like, I like them a lot, man. Like, I just think that, again, there's something for everyone out there. Like, if you like to tap into that nostalgia, and I think companies smart, like, are going to keep doing this, right? But to your point, the key is don't just do it and slap the movie logo on the thing and then, okay, great. Like, show that you actually are paying homage to the movie or whatever the feeling, and really pay attention to that with the details. That's what's going to get the people to be like, oh yeah, I'm all in on this. So,
absolutely. And I think I love that sneaker companies too are starting to look at details like the box, the tissue paper. I think when Nike did the Stranger Things collab, that's what I loved about it. It was like all the details that came along with it, not just on the shoe, but in the whole presentation. Like, you're getting an experience with these collabs, and like, they have a very special place in sneaker culture where they're not always the most hype, but I'm always here for it if it's something that taps into you. Like, I would love to see a Ferris Bueller collab at some point with like that calico vest.
That'd be like dope.
The Abe Froman, whatever it looks like, you know, the Sausage King of Chicago.
What? Of course. What was Ferris wearing Cameron wearing a pair of New Balance in that movie? I feel like I gotta pull it up and see. I'm trying to think about, because I'm pretty sure they were obviously wearing sneakers. I think it made it clear in one shot. I gotta put the movie back on fast forward and scan through to see. It's not like we're geniuses. I'm sure some companies already thought about how to do that and what it would look like.
Of course.
But yeah, hopefully they do that. Well, folks, thank you again for rocking with us. This has been another episode of the Kicks and Shit Show. You know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family on the Bomb podcast feed. We are there with Woke Bros, with the Original Bomb Show, Crazy Sexy Cool, Growing Up the Same, Rap Names, and us. Man, you're getting, listen, that is 6 days of premium content, man. Listen, you guys need to make sure you're signed up to the Bomb podcast feed and you're getting all that. As always, you know where to find us. We are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And again, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.